Good morning. Good morning. Good morning. Well, let me try this. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Come on, come on. Praise the Lord. Come on, let's tap our hands and give God what he deserves. Amen. Hallelujah. Good morning and welcome to Teller Tabernacle Live. Welcome to the Teller family and all of our friends joining through Facebook and YouTube Live. We are streaming from Philadelphia, PA, where Elder Jonathan E. Ford is the pastor. Can you give our pastor a hand, please? Amen. Amen. I do just want to give some quick announcements really, really quick. When it's time to leave and depart from the service, please use the side ramp door, which is to my right and to your left. See, I didn't even have to put my hands up to figure that one out. I just put it on top of my head. If you could please stand, I'm going to read the scripture and then pray us into our service. Our scripture this morning is Psalms 111, verses 1 through 4. When you have it, say amen. If you need a moment, say hold on. Psalms 111, 1 through 4. Again, that is Psalms 111, 1 through 4. 111, 1 through 4. God is good, isn't he, church? God is good all the time. God is good, amen? Amen. I just had to reflect on my last week and just had to remind myself God is still good and he is still in control, amen? Amen. Everybody have it? Amen. Praise the Lord. I will praise the Lord with my whole heart. In the assembly of the upright and in the congregation, the works of the Lord are great, studied by all who have pleasure in them. His work is honorable and glorious, and his righteousness endures forever. He has made his wonderful works to be remembered. The Lord is great and full of compassion. Amen. Amen. Dear Heavenly Father, we come before you this morning, God, right now in the name of Jesus, God. Hallelujah, God. We ask that you bless this service right now in the name of Jesus, God. Hallelujah, God. We come together right now, God, to give you all the glory and the honor in the name of Jesus, God. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus. We ask that you touch this service in the way that when someone leaves, God, hallelujah, they will know who you are, God, in the name of Jesus, God. Hallelujah, Lord. That they will question, who is this person that I heard on this Sunday morning, God? Who is this God that they keep talking about? Who is this person that they're praying for, God? In the name of Jesus, God. Hallelujah. That we may plant the seed in their heart and your Holy Spirit may water it and grow it, God. In the name of Jesus, God. We ask that you forgive us of any sins and transgressions, God. In the name of Jesus, God. Hallelujah, God, and we ask that you remove anything that's on our minds, God, that is hindering us from focusing on you, God, in the name of Jesus, God, for you deserve all of our attention, God, in the name of Jesus, God, for you are great and mighty, God, in the name of Jesus, God, you are our conqueror and our deliverer, God, in the name of Jesus, God, you are our salvation, God, in the name of Jesus, God, you are our healer, God, in the name of Jesus, God, our beginning and our end, God, in the name of Jesus, God. You are the one and only God, the great I am, God, in the name of Jesus, God. And we praise your name right now in the name of Jesus, God. We glorify your name right now in the name of Jesus, God. We lift you up on high, God, in the name of Jesus, God, so that you can draw all men to you, God, in the name of Jesus, God. Hallelujah, God. We're so thankful to you, God. We're grateful to you, God, in the name of Jesus, God, for every door you have opened, God. In the name of Jesus, God, we're grateful unto you, God, in the name of Jesus, God. Hallelujah, God, and we're thankful for your son, Jesus, God, and we're thankful for the Holy Spirit, God, in the name of Jesus, God. The Holy Spirit that you sealed down on the inside of us, God, in the name of Jesus, God, to walk with us and comfort us, God, in the name of Jesus, God. So we say thank you for your Holy Spirit, God, in the name of Jesus, God. Hallelujah, thank you for your helper, God. In the name of Jesus, God, who intercedes through prayer for us, God, in the name of Jesus, God. And what a privilege it is to have a God that prays for us, God, in the name of Jesus, God. Hallelujah, God. We thank you for thinking about us, God, 2,000 years ago on Calvary, God, in the name of Jesus, God, and taking up that cross for our sins, God, in the name of Jesus, God. We thank you right now in the name of Jesus for your compassion, God, in the name of Jesus, God, for your grace and mercy, God, in the name of Jesus, God, for not removing your love from us, God, in the name of Jesus, God, even though we don't deserve your love and your grace, God. In the name of Jesus, we thank you right now, God, in the name of Jesus, for you giving it to us, God, in the name of Jesus, God. Hallelujah, God. Hallelujah, Jesus. We thank you right now in the name of Jesus, God. Hallelujah, Lord. We just say thank you, God. When we lift our heads, we're lifting them and surrendering to you, God, in the name of Jesus, God, because you are our King and our head, God. In the name of Jesus, God, you are the one who leads, God. We follow, God. In the name of Jesus, God, wherever you go, we shall follow, God. In the name of Jesus, God, whatever you say, we shall do it, God. In the name of Jesus, God. Hallelujah, God. That's why we follow you, God. Hallelujah, God. And we look up to the hills, God. Hallelujah, God, from which cometh our help, God. In the name of Jesus, God, for our help comes from the Lord, God. In the name of Jesus, God, it doesn't matter what we need help with, God. Hallelujah, Jesus. We know that your help is coming to us, God, in the name of Jesus, God. So we look up to you, God, in the name of Jesus, God. We lift our heads to you, God, in the name of Jesus, God. Send down your help right now, God, in the name of Jesus, God. Send down healing right now, God, in the name of Jesus, God. Heal us of these diseases, God. Heal us of the sickness, God. In the name of Jesus, heal our minds, God. In the name of Jesus, God, heal our hearts, God. In the name of Jesus, God, heal us from the pain that we do not talk about. In the name of Jesus, God, hallelujah, and deliver us to God. In the name of Jesus, God, deliver us from the hand of the devil, God. In the name of Jesus, God, deliver our mind from the anxiety and the depression, God. In the name of Jesus, God, set us free right now in the name of Jesus, God. Hallelujah, God, set us free right now, God. In the name of Jesus, God, whoever is bound and shackled, God, in the name of Jesus, I come against it right now in the name of Jesus, God, because I know who you are, God, and I know what power you have given us, God, in the name of Jesus, God. So we come against those shackles and those bounding right now in the name of Jesus, God. Hallelujah. You said whatever we bound on the earth, God. Hallelujah, Jesus. Yes, God. Hallelujah, God. So we bound it right now, God, in the name of Jesus, God. Hallelujah, God. You said whatever we loose, God, in the name of Jesus, God. So we loose joy right now, God. We loose peace right now, God, in the name of Jesus, God. We loose everything that you have for us, God, right now in the name of Jesus, God. And we bound everything that the devil tried, God, right now in the name of Jesus, God. Hallelujah, God. Bless this house, God. Bless our pastor. Bless everyone who came here today, God. Bless those who are on their way, God. And bless those who could not make it, God, in the name of Jesus, God. Hallelujah, God. You know their heart, God, in the name of Jesus, God. Hallelujah. And if there was an enemy that stopped them, God, bless them anyway, God, and renew their strength, God, so that next Sunday they could make it, God, in the name of Jesus, God. And we give you glory and honor right now in the name of Jesus. Amen. 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 I'm going to call up our praise and worship team for a sermonic selection. Amen.
Sing on. Is it Praise the Lord, Taylor? The Lord. There it is. All right now.
I love you forever. I love you forever. I love you forever. Lord, sing I love you. I love you forever. I love you forever. I love you forever, Lord.
I love you.
I love you forever. Oh, I love you forever. I love you forever, Lord. I love you forever. I love you forever. I love you forever, Lord. I love you forever. I love you forever. I love you forever, Lord. We worship forever. We worship forever. We worship forever, Lord.
Sing, we worship, Lord.
We worship forever. We worship forever. We worship forever, Lord.
We worship.
We worship forever. We worship forever. We worship forever, Lord.
One more time, we worship.
We worship forever. We worship forever. We worship forever, Lord. We give glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God forever. We give glory to God.
Glory to God.
Glory to God.
Glory to God.
Glory to God forever. We give glory to God.
Hallelujah.
Glory to God. Glory to God forever. We give glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God forever.
One more time.
We give glory to God. Glory to God.
Hallelujah.
Glory to God forever.
That's the power. I love you.
I love you forever. I love you forever. I love you forever, Lord.
Sing, I love you, Lord.
I love you forever. I love you forever. I love you forever, Lord.
Can we do that one last time? I love you.
I love you forever. I love you forever. I love you forever, Lord.
Amen.
Amen.
Good morning, and God bless you. Courtland, if you could, there you go. Good man. You got me. Good man. My voice isn't as strong this morning. Good morning, and God bless you. Thank God for the praise team and their contribution to the worship experience. Thank God for you and your presence and what it contributes to the worship experience. Amen. We're going to jump right into it. If you have your Bibles, we're going to the Old Testament, the book of Judges, the 15th chapter. And I'm going to continue in my series of sermons targeted primarily for young men. Thank God for all of our young men that are here, those that are serving all over the church. Thank you for your faithfulness and serving. To all of our men that are here, thank you for your presence. To all of our women, all of the young ladies and the young girls. This series, I believe it's helpful for everyone, but specifically for our young men. And what we're doing as I speak to young men, I'm speaking through the life of Samson. That's what we're doing. We're in the Old Testament, the book of Judges, and we're just using Samson's life to raise and to lift up some issues, some principles, some challenges that all young men face. Are you with me? And I'm doing it because if we can do better on the front end, we can live better on the back end. Are you guys with me? We can make some better choices at the beginning, in the early stages. You can have a better result in the latter stages. Amen? So that's why the Lord has set in my heart to speak to our young men, our sons, our grandsons, our nephews, to hear what God would say to us. Okay? So Judges, the 15th chapter, we're going to read, as we have been doing all month, we're going to read through the chapter in its entirety, and then we're going to add to the witness out of the book of Hosea. It says, after a while, in the time of the wheat harvest, it happened that Samson visited his wife with a young goat. He said, let me go into my wife and into her room, but her father would not permit him to go in. Her father said, I really thought that you thoroughly hated her. Therefore, I gave her to your companion. Is not her younger sister better than she? Please take her instead. And Samson said to them, this time I shall be blameless regarding the Philistines if I harm them. Then Samson went and caught 300 foxes. He took torches and turned the foxes tail to tail and put a torch between each pair of the tails. And when he had set the torches on fire, he let the foxes go into the standing grain of the Philistines, and burned up both the shocks and the standing grain, as well as the vineyards and olive groves. Then the Philistines said, who has done this? And they answered, Samson, the son-in-law of the Timonite, because he has taken his wife and given her to his companion. So the Philistines came up and burned her and her father with fire. Verse 7, Samson said to them, since you would do a thing like this, I will surely take revenge on you, and after that I will cease. So he attacked them hip and thigh with a great slaughter. And then he went down and dwelt in the cleft of the rock at Etam. Now the Philistines went up. They encamped in Judah and deployed themselves against Lehi. The men of Judah said, "Why have you come up against us?" So they answered, "We have come up to arrest Samson, to do to him as he has done to us." Then 3,000 men of Judah went down to the cleft of the rock at Etam and said to Samson, "Do you not know that the Philistines rule over us? What is this you have done to us?" And he said to them, "As they did to me, so I have done to them." But they said to him, "We have come down to arrest you, that we may deliver you into the hands of the Philistines." And then Samson said to them, "Swear to me that you will not kill me yourselves." So they spoke with him, saying, "No, but we will tie you securely and deliver you into their hands, but we surely will not kill you." And they bound him with two ropes and brought him up from the rock. And when he came to Lehi, the Philistines came shouting against him. And then the Spirit of the Lord came mightily upon him, and the ropes that were on his arm became like flax that is burned with fire. And his bonds broke loose from his hands. He found the fresh jawbone of a donkey, reached out his hand and took it, and with it killed 1,000 men. Then Samson said, "With the jawbone of a donkey, heaps upon heaps, with the jawbone of a donkey, I have slain 1,000 men." And so it was, when he had finished speaking, that he threw the jawbone from his hand and called that place Ramath Lehi. Verse 18, then he became very thirsty. And so he cried out to the Lord and said, "You have given this great deliverance by the hand of your servant, and now shall I die of thirst and fall into the hands of the uncircumcised." So God split the hollow of the place that was in Lehi, and water came out, and he drank, and his spirit returned, and he was revived. Therefore, he called its name En-Hakkor, which is in Lehi to this day. And he judged Israel 20 years in the days of the Philistines. Amen. All right, let's jump over to the book of Hosea. We're just going to read one or two verses there out of the sixth chapter. Saying in the Old Testament, just turn over to the book of Hosea, one of the minor prophets, chapter 6. Just going to lift verse 1 and 2. There, if you're there, you'll see these words. "Come, let us return to the Lord, for he has torn, but he will heal us. He has stricken, but he will bind us up. After 2 days, he will revive us. And on the third day, he will raise us up that we may live in his sight." Amen. May the Lord bless and consecrate his word to our hearts. This morning, I want to talk about a serious subject. It affects all of us, both directly and indirectly. Okay? What I want to talk about this morning is the ruins of retaliation. Okay? I want to talk about the spirit of revenge. Right? And we all are affected by it. Like I said, directly as well as indirectly. Okay? Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed and holy is your name. We thank you for this day. We thank you for this hour. And Lord, I thank you because I sense the presence of your Spirit here in this place with us. As we set our attention and our focus on the Word of God. For it is your law and your light unto us. So help us to hear and obey. And as we commit our way unto you, at the various stages of our life, order our steps. Show us the path that we ought to take and how we can follow in your will. This is our humble prayer. We ask it in the name of your beloved Son, the Christ. Amen. You may be seated all over the sanctuary. For those of you who may be joining us today for the first time, or this is the first time you're joining us, as I've been in this series of preaching to and for young men, in a way of a recap, in Judges, the 13th chapter, what we learned in that particular chapter, in that particular portion of Samson's life, is that God was working in Samson's life before he was born. Right? If you read Judges 13, God is in conversation with Samson's parents before he is born, right? And I think that's significant for us, especially for our young men who I'm targeting, is to understand God is involved in your life before you were born. Are you guys with me this morning? And that's important because we can go through life, especially in the early stages, when we're trying to figure out life, right? And when things are not going our way or turning out as we would hope, we have the sense that God is not with us. How could he be? Look at what's going on in my life. Look at the trouble I'm facing. Look at the trouble I'm in, right? So my only conclusion could be that God is not, going to church is not working for me. Right? But I want, again, we're looking at this, a young man's life through the life of Samson. And Samson had God working in his life before he was born. If you were here 2-3 weeks ago when I preached that, that's my message. You've got to understand that. You've got to know that. And you've got to believe that God is working in my life before I was ever born. Are you with me? And then as we went into Judges, the 14th chapter, we preached on last Sunday. In spite of God being actively involved in Samson's life, calling him to become a Nazarite, not cut his hair, and gifting him with incredible, in spite of all of that, what God was doing in Samson's life before he was born, and once he was born, Samson, like many men, like many young men, made poor choices. Right? All right. So now I'm just going to help you in the go along with the sermon. Let everybody in the church say amen. Whether you're a young man or a young woman, an older man or an older woman, or a senior man or a senior, we can all bear witness to the fact that across life's journey, we have all made poor choices. I mean, no one can say, no, every move I made was right. Every decision I made was productive. No, we have all been victims of our own poor choice. And Samson was no exception. And Samson, and the reason why I'm pointing at young men, Samson made poor choices. And what the scripture highlights for us is that those poor choices, as it often does for men, related to women. The women were not bad. It was Samson's choice of women that was ill-fated. Right? So last Sunday we talked about what? Choosing the right wife. Avoiding the wrong girlfriend. Right? And oftentimes as men, that's where we get ensnared. Women. Sex. Right? Relationship. That's where we get ensnared, and it often happens early in life. Right? Anybody in my church today? So now we're here at chapter 15, and we're looking at another area, another episode in the life of Samson. So like I said, I want to talk about the ruins of retaliation. So to put us all on the same page, when you hear that word ruins, just so we're all on the same page, it refers to the remains of a destroyed building or structure. It is a state of utter destruction or collapse. So much destruction to the building, it just falls down, can't stand. It says, as a noun, it most commonly means the remnants of a civilization's architecture, like an ancient city, that have fallen into despair due to factors like time and war or natural disaster. You think of the ruins of the Colosseum over in Rome. It was once a great structure, but now, just over years, it's fallen into disrepair. But this is what I want you to get. It says the term can also be used metaphorically for something that was once valuable, but is now broken, such as a ruined relationship. I'm down the road if you don't realize it. You hear what I'm saying? This Sunday I want to talk about what the ruins of retaliation. And that word ruins, first up in our minds, yes, we think of buildings, structures, edifices, civilizations. That's definition one, number one. But number two means that the term can also be used metaphorically for something that was once valuable, but is now broken, such as a ruined relationship. Are you with me? The ruins of retaliation. That word retaliation, I know we got a thought. Again, getting us on the same page. Retaliation is the act of harming someone because they have harmed you. Are you with me? And what I like to call it, I call it the get even spirit. Are you with me? And as we look at Samson's life detailed here in chapter 15, you're going to see this spirit of retaliation and revenge operate in Samson's life.
And as we go through it, all through scattered all through chapter 15, all along the road is what? The ruins. You just go from verse to verse. Ruins of shattered relationships. They're scattered all throughout the Bible. You read chapter 15. You can't go to the next verse without what? Seeing damage everywhere you look. And it's the ruins of retaliation. Because everybody felt the need to get even. Are you following what I'm saying? So we're going to look at that. Now, let me say this. Let me raise our eyesight up first before we jump down. One, just like I said, God is involved in Samson's life before he was born, right? So up here, operating at this level is God. And what God is doing in Samson's life, as he is in your life, he is working out his will. Are you with me? You got to understand that. God's operating up high, 50,000, whatever. He's higher than us. And what God is doing is working out his will, right, of which we are a part, right? Now, our job is to bring our life in agreement with God's will so that there can be harmony, right? But even when we fail to bring our lives in harmony with God's will for our life, in spite of our bad choices and decisions, God continues to work out his will. That's the right statement. Thank you, Jesus. God doesn't change his mind because we changed ours. God does not change his focus because we have lost. God continues to work out his will. And all throughout Samson's life, bad choice after bad choice, God is still working out his will. In spite of Samson's bad choices, God does, if you go back to Judges 13, when God told his mother that she would bear a son, they told him he must be a Nazarite. And this is what he said, I think it was in verse 5, because he will begin to destroy the Philistines. That's why Samson was born. And you can't say it no plainer than that. Chapter 13:5. Says, for behold, you shall conceive and bear a son, and no razor shall come upon his head, for the child shall be a Nazarite to God from the womb. And here it is. And he shall begin to deliver Israel out of the hand of the Philistines. That was Samson's purpose. That's why God brought him into time, when he did, where he did, and like it. That was God's purpose. Now, Samson didn't go about it the right way, but God still got done what he wanted done. Okay? So I want you to see that God is still operating at a higher level to bring about his will. You guys got me on that? Good. Now, let's look at this. Let's go through the ruins of chapter 15. Before we do, everybody, I want you to have your Bibles. Everybody, go back to your Bibles. We're not done with them yet. And I'm going to read verses 19 and 20 from the previous chapter because they give us the context for what's happening in chapter 15. Verse 19, and you remember this from last Sunday. He marries this woman. He gives the people a riddle. No one knows the riddle except Samson. His wife prevails on him. He tells her the secret. And then the men of her town, the Philistines, prevail on her. She tells them the secret. And now they answer Samson's riddle. Right? Verse 19. The Spirit of the Lord came upon him mightily. And he went down to Ashkelon and he killed 30 of their men. He took their apparel and gave the changes of clothing to those who had explained the riddle. So his anger was aroused, and he went back up to his father's house. Verse 20, and Samson's wife was given to his companion who had been
his best man.
So I'm not going to preach the last Sunday. If you want to hear it or know anything about it, it's on the website. It's on YouTube. You guys can get it. There's two things I just want to pick up at the end of this verse. And before we get into 15, Spirit of the Lord came upon him, stirred up his gift, which was his strength, right? And so he went to another town in Philistine territory, killed those men and took their garments and gave to the Philistine men in this town, in Timnah, where his wife lived, right, to satisfy his debt. Listen to this. In verse 19, it says, so his anger was aroused. He went back up and he went back up to his father's house. Okay, everybody look at me. If I can say anything to our young men, this is what I want to say right up front. This is a good, even though Samson made many bad moves, this is a good move. He went back to his father's house and calmed down. You with me? Turn me down just a little. Right? He's been duped. No one knew the secret. At the end, he told his wife. So he knew the only way anyone could ever know is either he told them or his wife told them. So they answered the riddle. And so he immediately knows that she told him. And he also knows in order for her to tell him, they must have prevailed against her. They must have done. She just didn't tell him just because she didn't have nothing to do or nobody to talk to. They prevailed against her. And as a result, his anger was around. So he goes and kills 30 Philistine men in order to satisfy his debt by bringing their garments and clothes to these 30 guys to settle his debt. And it says his anger was aroused and he went back up to his father's. If anything I can say to our young men today, our young adults today, this generation, Y, X, Z, all the whole alphabet, everybody, calm down. There's nothing wrong with being angry. The Bible says, do not go to bed angry. Because if you go to bed with an angry spirit, you'll wake up with an angry spirit and you will be more prone to retaliation. Because that thing is what? Eating at you on the inside. The best thing you can do when you get angry is go look. And I love what he did. The text said he went up to his father's house. He removed himself from the situation that was angering him. He had every right to stay in Timnah. His wife was there. He had just given a feast there. But because his anger was around, it got him. He went to Escalon. He killed 30 men. But he could have kept killing men. But he what? Went home. If I can say anything to young men today, go home. Hanging out on the corner and in the streets will do you no good. All hanging out is going to do, listen to me, is cause you to get more and more angry. Because what are the fellas talking about on the corner? What just happened to you? They're replaying it. And today they're not even talking about it. What are they doing today? Today they recorded what happened to you. And they are replaying the image of you fighting. The image of you being shot. The image of what was done to you. And you're not able to escape it. And so that spirit of anger that is in you is constantly being stirred up. Am I saying anything to anybody? Look at somebody and say, go home. And when you go home, put your phone down. Don't go home and get in your room and just watch it again. If that's the case, stay out on the corner. Go home, eat some of your mother's food, fill your belly, and get in the bed and go to sleep. You got to calm down. So much of what we're seeing impacting our young men and our young girls is the spirit of revenge. Are you following me? Good. Let me keep moving. Here it is, verse 15. Let's get down to it. After a while, in the time wheat harvest, it happened that Samson visited his wife. Now, he was still married. Family had still paid the dowry. He had still given the wedding feast. It just didn't end well for Samson. So he went home and cooled down. And now, after he's calmed down, cooler heads has prevailed. He remembers that what? I love my wife. He remembers that he has a wife. And the text says, so he goes down to her and with a young goat, he brought an offering, right? Right? Fellas, if I can help you as your pastor, whenever you go to check her out, don't go empty handed. Come on, let all the sisters in the church. Don't go empty handed. If you're going to go empty handed, don't go. It's a waste of time on your part and hers. But if you're serious about her, if your feelings for her are legitimate and strong, don't go empty-handed. Look at somebody and say, preach, Pastor Ford. Good night. I'm coming back next Sunday. If you're going to preach like that, I'm coming, Pastor Ford. Goes, wife, still at her father's house. Goes, he said, I'm here. See my wife. Want to go in, but the text says his father would not permit him. Something's up. What? I mean, she's my wife. We've done everything right. We've paid the dowry. We've had a 7-day feast in honor of the celebration. Right? All right. Why can't I see my wife? And so the father said, I really thought that you thoroughly hated her, right? Because of what she did. He's now in on it. Answer, you know, why Samson go berserk like that? Well, she said, I just told him, I told the guys the riddle. I told him the answer. So he said, I thought you thoroughly hated her. Therefore, I gave her to your companion. Is not her younger sister better than she? And he says, please take her instead. Are you with me? What the father-in-law is trying to do is he's trying to appease Samson because he has done him dirty. Are you following? This is the story. I'm just translating it into a language in a way we can. That's what happens. He did everything right. If the father would have had a problem, he should have said something what? Long time ago. No. Can't date my daughter. No. No. You're a Hebrew. He had every right as her father to say that, to do that. But he didn't. He allows his daughter to be married, right? And now that they hit their first hiccup in his marriage, he talks his daughter into separating from Samson and marrying his best man. Right? You're going to tell the story. Tell the story. Now, verse 3 says, and Samson said to them, this time I shall be blameless regarding the Philistines if I harm them. Samson said, whatever happens from here is not my fault. But it is. He said that, but the reality is, it's very much Samson's fault. Right? But he's trying to present himself as what most people do when they get in trouble. They try to present their side of it and say, what? I'm blameless. What, my fault? They provoked me into doing this. That's the only reason I punched him in his mouth. He was talking all that nonsense. I didn't just punch him to be punching him. Right? Look at somebody and say, keep preaching, Pastor Ford. And then Samson went and caught 300 foxes. And he took torches and turned the foxes tail to tail. And he put a torch between each pair of the tails. And when he had set the torches on fire, he let the foxes go into the standing grain of the Philistines. Go back to verse 1. Verse 1 says, after a while, in the time of the wheat harvest. You know what the wheat harvest is? Money time. They waited all growing. Now they were harvesting the wheat, preparing it for what? For the market. To go what? Make some money. And here comes Samson sending foxes with their tail on. Now, wheat is ready to burn up anyway. But now you throw fire in the mix. And the Bible said it just burnt. Those foxes went through the wheat and it burned up everything. It burned up the stuff they had harvested that they had set aside and was ready to go to the market. It burned up the stuff that was still in the field that they hadn't even picked yet. And the Bible said it also burned up the vineyards and the olive groves. In short, it burned up everything. In one event, the Philistines lost everything. Samson, insulted and provoked to freshly resentment, took vengeance on the Philistines. And this was a great loss to all of the Philistine farmers. Verse 6, then the Philistines said, who has done this? Who did this to us? Rob, did you see who did this? Aiden, who was it? What part of town were they from? Let me preach to my young men. What high school did they go to? What jacket were they wearing? What were the colors? Right? Right? Why? Because we're about to do what? We're about to get even. Ain't nobody going to roll up in here and do that to us. Nobody going to roll up in here and say that about us, about my mama, about my school, about my girl. And you don't even really like the girl, but you all upset in arms about it because now somebody talking about it. Verse 6, then the Philistines said, who has done this? And they answered, Samson, the son-in-law of the Timonite. Listen. Because he has taken his wife and given her to his companion. Now listen, read verse 6. So the Philistines came up and burned her and her fire and her father with fire. So you get me. Because you talked your daughter into divorcing me and marrying another man. And so now, I'm going to get you for what you have done to me. And after he retaliates against them, they now retaliate back again. And the Bible says they burned his wife and his father. You know what I want you to see? Watch it now. It's going to keep going. Watch the violence. No, escalate. That's what I want you to see. It doesn't just continue. It's just not tit for tat, James. If you do me one, I'm going to do you one better. And what happens in the cycle of retaliation, the damage grows worse. Here's another thing that I want to point out. In case the Lord, if I don't get to finish this sermon, this is important. This is why I'm bringing it up front in the sermon here now. Not only does retaliation bring about escalating damage, escalating ruin. Retaliation always has collateral damage. And I got to say that because a lot of young guys, when I talk to them, they say, Pastor, it was just me. It may have been just you. The beef may have just started between you and him. But look, as a result of the escalating damage, not only does the damage go up, but the damage goes wide. Now James is hurt. Now Sister Alina hurt. I'm going to skip over. Are you guys reading the story? The damage is not only going up, the damage is getting. It was started out between Samson and his father-in-law. Now all of the farmers are broke. They've been impacted. Now Samson's wife, who he's loved, is dead. Now her father is dead. All we're doing is talking about the ruins. It's a get even spirit. You follow what I'm saying? If you got it, say I got it. All right, let's keep going. And so he has that. 6-7. Samson said to them, here it is, I'm ahead of myself. Look at verse 7. Samson said to them, listen to the language. Since you would do a thing like this, what? Escalate. Now you're burning people over a beef. He said, I will surely take revenge on you. Then I will cease. You see that? Are you guys reading verse 7? Am I telling the truth or am I telling the lie? That's what it said, right? Because, Lord, she's look, I don't care if none of y'all come to church next week. As long as she come to church, I got somebody to preach to. Lord, help me. She said it. Pastor, tell the truth, Pastor. I got a witness. Lord, help me. Here it is. Because you have done this to me, I will surely take revenge on you. Get this. This is the part I want you to see. And after that, he says what? I'll stop. Listen, young men, listen to me. When the cycle of retaliation gets going and it is fueled by anger in your spirit, oftentimes you can't stop. Even if you do what the pastor says and go home and calm down, the moment you go back to school, you're stirred up again. And even though you talk to your mom and dad and say, all right, no, it's cool, mom. Blah, 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 blah. I go back to school. It's all cool. And you have calmed down. And you have said, I'll see. That's it. That's it. All right. We talk. It's over. I'm done with it. You want to stop, but you can't. Because the spirit of revenge, that's why you can't fool with it, is powerful. You hear what I'm saying? Once you get that get even spirit in you, it's hard to get rid of it. Samson thought he could just say, look, you know what? I'm going to bang him one more time. That's it. I'm going to go down there. I'm just going to drop some jokers, and then I'm done with it. I'm going back to my dad's house. It's a wrap for me after that. He thought, because of his own will, he could stop the cycle of retaliation on his own. But what he found out is what? He couldn't. Even though he said he would. Even though he said he'd stop. Right? Even though he said he wouldn't do it again. Are you with me? This is where the sermon gets heavy. I hope y'all laughed at the early jokes, because the rest of it ain't funny. Are you with me? Verse 8. So he attacked them hip and thigh with a great slaughter. Then he went down and dwelt in the cleft of the rock at Etam. He did just what he said he'd do. He put a hurt on them. That's what that hip and thigh meant. It just meant he went down there and went berserk. Right? And after it was over, the Bible said he went to this cliff called Etam. Right? And verse 9 says, now the Philistines went up and encamped in Judah and deployed themselves against Leah. That word deploy, that's a military term. They got all the brothers in town who could what? Fight. So we're going to put an end to Samson, right? As we walk through this story, this episode in Samson's life, do any of you see the news playing in front of your eyes? Any of you? As I'm talking about what's happening with Samson and Lehi, do any of you see what's happening in Philadelphia, in North Philly, West Philly, South? And I don't mean just, I mean every night, just turn it on. It'll be the same story, just with what? Different characters. And the reason I'm preaching this message is I believe God is trying to save our sons from being caught up and caught out and caught in the cycle of retaliation. It doesn't even have to be about you. When the cycle of retaliation starts, it only escalates and gets wider and wider until mothers lose sons who are not even in the fight. Till mothers lose daughters who just went to the game to hang out. But when the cycle of retaliation starts, it's like a hurricane funnel. Once that hurricane get going, it starts sucking in everything and everybody. Are you with me? Good. Let's get going so we can finish. And he says, they deployed against him at Leah. And verse 10 said, the men of Judah said, why have you come up against us? And they answered, here it is. It's the cycle of, look what it says. We have come up to arrest Samson and to do to him as he has done to us. Guys, I can't make it any plainer than what it is. All we're doing is looking at a cycle, an episode, regarding the cycle of retaliation. Look at every round, every verse, what? It's going higher and higher, deeper and deeper. Every verse, there's what? More collateral damage. He did that to us. We're going to do that to him. And every verse, there's more damage. Right? Do you see it? Good, good. Let me keep going. Here it is, 11. 3,000 men of Judah went down to the cleft. They said to Samson, what have you done to us? That's important. Listen to how they phrased the question. You did it, but it's affecting what? Us. You killed them, but now they want to come back. And the point that's being implied, not specifically stated, is that if we don't give them you, they're going to attack. Remember, they were military men and encamped around Judah. They didn't come to talk. They came to throw down. They said, somebody's getting beat down today. You got two choices. It can either be Samson or all of y'all. You follow what I'm saying? Do you see how retaliation affects other people? That's what Samson missed. Samson thought it was just about him and his father-in-law. He didn't understand his retaliation would leave ruins scattered all over Judah and all in Philistia. All right, here it is. Here it is, 11, now 12. And they said to him, we're going to come down. We're going to arrest you. Right? Because it's either you or us. And they said, today we're choosing us. So we're going to tie in. We're going to turn you over. We're going to arrest you. We're going to turn you over so that it can appease them. And they can leave our town and leave our territory without provoking war. Right? And so they spoke to him saying, no. Samson said, I don't want y'all to kill me. They said, no, we're not going to kill you. We are going to turn you over. Now, what happens after that? Look at somebody and say, why don't y'all just kill me? We already know what's going to happen if you turn me over. But whatever, he said, no, we won't. Here it is. They brought ropes. They bound them. Verse 14, then when he came to Lehi, the Philistines came shouting against him. Somebody tell me what you think they were shouting at him. Exactly not. Right? Jordan has helped us by giving us the opposite to consider. Because that's the truth. They weren't shouting kind words at him. They began to insult Samson. I wish I had a real church. What did I tell you at the beginning? God is always doing what? Working sovereignly. Right? Now, down in the life of Samson, Samson is continuing to make bad choices. But in spite of his bad choices, God said, I know something about, I've given Samson a temper. Now, his job is to control it. Right? That's not a permission to go crazy anytime, anywhere. But now, because they have come against the house of Judah, now because they have allowed the war to escalate, to go beyond Samson, now into Israelite. Remember, they came to Judah all before Samson was in Philistine territory. But now the Philistines has come, watch this, in the God's territory. I wish I had a real church. God says, in spite of the bad choices Samson has made, in spite of the bad moves that he has got himself involved in, God said, I still gave him a gift. And I'm still working my will out sovereignly in his life. It may not have been the way God had wanted, but in the end, the Lord's will be done. I heard Jesus say, it's not my will, but thy will be done. I don't want to die.
I don't want to hang on a cross. I don't want to be speared in my side. But if that's your will, look at somebody and say, let God's will be done. Samson is bound, hand and foot, inching forward toward the Philistines. And instead of being satisfied with the capture and entrapment of Samson, they began to jeer him, shout at him, insulted him, cursed him, made fun of his wife, made fun of his dad, insulted his people, and the Bible. God help me. The more they shout, the more the Spirit of the Lord began to stir up Samson. Little by little, inch by inch, the Bible said, the Spirit of the Lord God fell on Samson, and the fresh ropes, the fresh straps began to fall from his hands. And the Bible said, he found a jawbone of a donkey, picked it up, and Samson went to town on all of the Philistines, one by one, hundred by hundred, thousand upon thousands. And Samson destroyed the Philistines. Even though he wasn't spared, oftentimes we can feel our poor choices have ensnared us. I can't do that. Pastor, remember what I told you I did? I can't do that. Dave can, but I can't. Pastor, remember I told you where I've been? Pastor, do you remember when I told you about my old girlfriend? I'm trapped. Now we got to deal with something that neither one of us wanted. I'm stuck. Hands tied. My feet are tied. When your hands are tied, that's a sign you're tied economically. When your feet are tied, that's a sign you're stuck geographically or location. I mean, you can't move. You have to stay right where you are. That's what makes freedom so great. Because you can what? Move. You can go. But when your feet are tied, you can't. When your hands are tied, you don't have the resources to. And so many of our young men feel defeated so early in life. They feel their hands are tied. I can't get a job. If I do get a job, well, it's a low-end job. That's, I can't move. Pastor, I see the wall upstairs. I see the Hall of Fame upstairs. And how all those guys and all those girls went off to colleges and all these different places and did all that. But that's them. That's not my story. My feet. I can't move. I'm born in Philly and I'm destined to die in Philly. I made some bad choices. Now my hands are tied. Now my feet are tied. But I'm here to tell you
Just like God was working before you were born, I'm here to tell you God is working right now. In spite of poor decisions, in spite of poor choices, in spite of poor moves, in spite of poor relationships, in spite of bad girlfriends, in spite of wicked wives, God is still working in your life. Are you with me? Here it is. Let me finish it. 13. They secured him. He started to kill him. 14. The Spirit of the Lord came upon him. And he says, with the jawbone of a donkey, heaps upon heaps, I killed 1,000. And so it was. Here it is. I'm at the end. Good. I made it. So it was when he finished speaking, he threw the jawbone from his hand and he called the place Ramath Lehi. Verse 18. Then he became very thirsty. Right? Here it is. Here's your praise point right here. Everybody see it? Everybody should be looking at 18. It's your praise point. He became very thirsty, and he cried out to the Lord. That's your praise point. In spite of what he had done, in spite of where he had been, in spite of having both his hands and feet tied, when he finally came to himself, the text said what? He cried out. Listen. He could have cried out to the Lord when he first saw the girl in Timnah, but he didn't choose to. He could have cried out to the Lord when his parents advised him against that. Yeah, I know you like her, but we see some stuff you can't see right now. This may not. And in spite of making a bad choice, he could have cried out to the Lord, but he didn't. Right? When they began to attack and insult him, he could have cried out to the Lord, but he didn't. But God never gave up on Samson. Here, physically exhausted, and watch this. It's a little thing, but I don't want you to miss it. Look, you got to read your Bible closer than what you're doing. Listen what it says. Verse 18. Then he became very thirsty. God created a need in him. Watch this. That no one else could satisfy. Because there was no water in Lehi. And of all the things God, there's no water in Lehi, yet the Bible says, then, all of a sudden, while he was killing those jokers, he wasn't thirsty, wasn't thinking about no water. But now that it's over, God sends a need in his life. And the need was for water. And there was none. What do you do when God creates a need that you can't satisfy? What do you do? What do you do when God gives it to you to want a thing, to possess a thing, but you can't reach it? Do what Samson did. Samson had a need he couldn't satisfy, so he what? He cried out to God. And that's the message I want to get to my young men. You're not too young to cry out to God. Listen, young guys, as your spiritual father, I'm telling you that when you cry out to God, he'll hear you and he will answer you. All you have to do is give God a try. And my point is this, why not give him a try? You've given everybody else a try
You've tried everything else and given it a try. Why not try God? And I'm encouraging you to do it because that need you have, no one else can satisfy you but God. And if you don't call out to God, you know what you'll do? The ruins of retaliation. This is what you will do in your life when you don't cry out to God. You'll keep going from this one to this one. Then to her, I'm including her this time. Then to him. Then you'll hang out with this group. And you'll say, I'm going to hang out with them because they got the best member in the church. And if I just hang out with them, my life will get better. They don't work, so you try this group. I'm going to hang out. This is it right here. That doesn't work. And I'm trying to save you some time. None of these people will work. Because that need you have, that void you fill in your life, was created by God. And only God can satisfy it. If I don't do nothing else, I hope I help somebody. Stop chasing everybody and everything. Trying to be this and that and the other. God created you for himself. And there's some things about you that only God knows. There's some voids in you that only God can fulfill. All it takes is for a young man, or a young woman, an older man, an older woman, to finally come to themselves and cry out to God, "Here am I, Lord." It is the only way, hear me and hear me well, that you can break the cycle of retaliation. Are you guys listening to me? Without God's help, it cannot be broken. And you will die trying to get even. What's going to happen? You hear me? Now I want you to lift up and see this at a broader level. My heart is towards the young men because I know what it is to be a young man. I know what it is to be a young man with girls, young man with friends, young man in gangs, young man on football. I know what it's like. So I'm familiar with their temptation. But here's where we all get in on the sermon. It is the ruins of retaliations. And the ruins is the damage we cause in our relationships. Are you with me? Sibling rivalries. I hate my brother. And the cycle begins. Marital discontent. Nobody can fight like married folks. But once that cycle starts, once you harbor hate for your companion inside of you and the flame of anger engulfs itself, starts that cycle of retaliation. You against them, them against you. I'm trying to tell you, it won't go out. You can go to counseling, it won't kill it. You can have prayer, it won't douse it.
Anybody hearing what I'm saying? That's why it's too powerful. And you need God to step in to the flame and the fire and destruction of your life. Caught in a cycle of the Bible said King Nebuchadnezzar looked in the fire and said, did not we throw three? God said, I'm going to end the cycle of retaliation today. The Bible says what? That God stepped in the fire. The boys should have been burned. They should have been destroyed. They should have met their end, but God, he stepped in the fire. And by God's power, the Bible said, not only were they not burned, James, look at God work. James said, the Bible said, they're clean. They're clean. The most flammable thing on them did not burn. That's what God does when you invite him into your fire. But as long as you try to keep dousing it yourself, fixing it yourself, and never realizing that you need God's help. The Bible said he cried out to God. Verse 20 said God did a miracle. God said, the Bible said, he opened the ground and allowed water to come where water had never been. Never been before. I didn't say Samson hit it or struck it. God, with his own hand, put his hand in the earth, opened it up. And I don't know if you ever know anything about creation. If you need to study creation. If you study creation, you will find out more about your God than you will ever know. God has water under the ground. God has water under the sea. God has water in, even when it's not raining, God's got water all over your head. But you got to study creation to know all of this. God put his hand in the ground, opened it up, and the Bible says a spring came up. Samson drank, was refreshed, and was revived. That's my message for the church. If you call on God, one, he'll break the cycle. Whoever it is, whatever relationship that you are in and it's on fire. And I don't mean on fire in a good way, because I know the young kids, fire means a good thing. Oh, that's fire, you're fire. No, no. This is fire in a bad way. But God said, I've come to rescue you today. It's not my will that you be in the fire. It's not my will that your life be filled with ruined relationships. Mm-mm. He said, just come to me. Allow me to do what only God can do. And that's what I'm saying to my church. You've got to come to him. Are you with me? If you're here this Sunday, and you know what I'm talking about, give me that mic, Cortland. Lift me up a little. Listen, if you're here today and you know what I'm talking about from personal experience, I don't want you to come because of, this is not an altar call for you to come and stand in proxy for somebody. Pastor, I'm here. I'm here for my brother-in-law. I'm here for my cousin. No. Send your cousin and brother-in-law to my church. But if you're here today and you know by personal experience what the cycle of retaliation has done in your relationships, God says today, come today. God said, I'm going to end it right now. God said, I'm going to take out that get even spirit out of you. And I'm going to give you the joy of Jesus Christ. And I'm going to allow you the taste of my grace and of my mercy. And I'm going to allow you to go home and go to sleep for the first time without that on your mind. If you're here this Sunday, I want you to come and I want you to bring your relationship with him. Today, God is going to give you water. If you come today, God calls you Samson. He said, Samson, if you come today, I'm going to perform a miracle. Right in front of everybody, I'm going to do a miracle. I'm going to put my hand down inside of you. And in a place where there was no water, in a place where there was only anger, hatred, resentment, retaliation, revenge, God said, I'm going to open you up. Right in the middle of service. And in that same place where there was no water, God said, I'm going to give you water. This is going to be the living wells of salvation. Whoever you are and wherever you are, I invite you to come. We're at the end of the service and we finally realize the trick is on us. It was never about Samson. It was always about me. If you're here, will you come? I stand as God's manservant. That if you come and bring your relationship, good, bad, broken, indifferent, bring it. Bring it today. Today, God's going to stop the cycle. Today. Today. And God says, what was once bad, God said, now I'm going to make it good. Will you come? This is the part of the side. I preached to get to this one part. If I could have got to it in the beginning, I would have. But I wanted you to see Samson and realize it's not Samson at all. It's me. It's me, oh Lord. I'm the one standing in the need of prayer. It's me, Lord. I need you to break the cycle. 16, 17 years it's been going on and I can't break it. I've tried this, I've tried that, I've tried the other. And I'm still in the same place. Will you come today? Today God's going to untie your hands. Will you come? Why not take God up on his offer? Why not take God up on his promise? That God said, just try me and see if I can do it. Try me and try the power of God in your life. Bring, come on. Come. God said, I want the dry places. Places that are dry, empty, no life. Today, God says, I give you water. Take that top off, Rob. Today, if you're here, you're here. And if you're like me, your life is filled with the ruins all over your years, your 20s, your 30s, your 40s. Just look back over your life. Ruins, destruction everywhere. Never got it right. Today, 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 today. Today. Today has come. God says in the place that there was no water, no life, no hope. And I want you to come. Listen. Thank you, Holy Spirit. I want you to come if you're giving up. That's who God wants. The retaliation has gone on so long. You to the point now. Listen to this. You don't even give a damn. I'm tired. I quit. Whatever. Whatever. God says, bring whatever to me. Bring the relationship you call dead to me. Hosea said, the second day he'll revive us. And on the third day, he'll raise us up again. Why won't you take God up? It's for you. All you got to do is come. That's all you got to do. Why not drink of the refreshing waters of God? It's here for you. In the name of the Father, Son, Holy Ghost. Yeah, receive. Receive of God. Hallelujah to God. Hallelujah to God. Receive. Receive. Receive the refreshing waters. Receive the well of salvation God has for you. Receive. 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 God restores you today. Today, restoration has finally come. Hallelujah. I've been restored back to my place in God. Restoration has come. Restoration has come in the name of the Father, of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Father, in the name of Jesus, do what only you can do. Do what only you can do. Fill her today, God, with the refreshing waters of God. Hallelujah. From Mount Zion. God, you do it. God, you do it. From the crown of her head down to the sole of her feet. Heal her today, God. Restore, God. Revive, God. In the name of Jesus. What was once a desert. Rivers of living water. Flowing now. Flowing now. Father, in the name of Jesus, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, yes, yes. The desert places. The desert places. Yes. I feel the water of God. Good God. You know him. Now he's entering your desert places. Yes, living water. Fresh water. Today God revives you. Today God restores you. Yes. 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 Today God repairs. Yes. God fixes. Yes. 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 Revive her today. God's going to do it. God's doing it now. He's doing it now. Yes. Yes. He satisfies your thirst now. Yes. With living water. Yes. God fills you today with the living water. Spirit of the living God. Fall fresh. In the name of the Father, in the name of the Son, mighty man of God, today God restores you and makes you whole. Today God waters the dry places. Today God calls and says, you are mine. Father, I pray from the crown of his head down to the sole of his feet. Restore the joy. Hallelujah. Revive him again. Yes, Lord. Stay the hand of the enemy. Yes, Lord. Off of his house. Stay the hand of the enemy from coming against his home. Father, in the name of Jesus, God call guard against his marriage, God. We apply the blood of Jesus. Doorposts and lintel. Stay the hand of the enemy. protect what you have given them. Cause your glory to be revealed. In the name of Jesus, his heart is towards you, God. His heart is towards you, God. Revive him again. Restore the joy. Oh, in the name of Jesus, every relationship. Hallelujah. The God place is gone. Do what only God can do. Satisfy his hunger and thirst for you. Jesus' name. Mighty man of valor. The name of the Father. Name of the Son. Name of the Holy Ghost. Jesus' name. Here am I, Lord. I came because you called me. I don't know why I'm here. I don't know what I need from you. All I know is that I'm here. Today I make myself available. I need you in my life. I need you in the pardon of my sins. I need the hope that the Word of God makes known. Father, in the name of Jesus, I pray for her. I pray for the dry places. Pray for the places that have no water. She's precious in your sight. God, I sense you doing great and mighty things in her life. Draw her to yourself. You said in your word, if you would draw nigh unto me, you promised that you would draw nigh unto us. All I can say is, Lord, she came. When others did not, when others refused, she came boldly. As a sign of her conviction, a sign of her faith that she needs you. So satisfy her today. Fill that void in her life with your presence and with your word. I sense your presence. I sense your presence. Yeah. Give your life to Christ. Yeah. That's what he wants. Give your life to him. Receive ye the joy of the Lord. He's there for you. You don't have to be old. You got to be in church a long time. That what you feel there, that's God. That's what that is. That's God working in you. Both to will and to do according to it. Just open up to receive it. Receive him. Just receive him. Lord, I thank you. I just receive ye the Lord. Receive Lord Jesus. It's happening. Oh yes. I feel God here. I feel God here. I feel God here moving in a life. Yes. Yes, yes, young, precious, in the sight of God, glory, in the name of, receive ye now, the Lord Jesus Christ, the hope of glory, receive, yes, the Lord wants you. Yes, 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 yes. That's what he wants. Wants our young people. Wants our young men. Wants our young women. Oh, glory to God. No, 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 no. No, 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 devil. No, 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 no. No, not today, devil. Satan, the Lord rebuke you. Not the children of God. not the offspring of the Most High. No, 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 no. No, 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 no. Not our children. Not our companion. Not our family. Not our friends. Woo! Today. If you cry out to God, yes, you cry out. If you open your mouth, call on his name. Yes, he's promised to hear you. He's promised to answer. He's promised to bless you. Come on, everybody, everywhere, lift your hands unto God. Everybody, say something to your God. Come on, give him an audible praise. Give him an audible praise. Open your mouth. Give God the glory. Give God the... Give him an audible praise. Yes. 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 Here am I, Lord. Here am I, Lord. I cry out unto you. I open my mouth. I lift my hands. I give you an audible praise. Come on, Taylor, for the next 30 seconds. Come on, give God your best praise. Come on, Taylor. Find a way. Right in the dry place. Praise God. In the dry place. Come on, everybody stand up. Come on, everybody. Come on, church. Let everybody. Let everybody. Let. Woo! Let everybody. Yes. Praise him in the dry place. Yes. Yes. Praise him until he sends water. Praise him until he sends life. Woo. Help me, Jesus. Woo. Yes. Yes. Yeah, I feel like having church. I feel like having church. I've been delivered. I've been set free. And now. Yes. Yes. I dare you to praise him. I dare you. Praise him in the drop.
Oh, yes.
Yes. Yes. In the dry place. Yes. Yes. It's not over. It's not dead. Yes. Oh, my goodness. Oh, my goodness. The cycle is broken. Yes, the cycle is broken. Today, yes, Lord, yes, Lord, yeah. Woo! Yeah, I gotta quit. Oh, my soul loved Jesus. Yeah, my soul loved Jesus. Yes. of the living water that I thirst no more. Woo! I cried out to the Lord, and he heard my despairing cry. If you call him, he'll answer. Regardless of the state of your relationships, God will hear you. He'll hear you first. He'll heal you second. And like Samson, he's going to give you living water. So that you're never thirsty for people again. What a blessing. James, it's a blessing because the people can't satisfy you. So don't give me a thirst for them. But give me a thirst for thee, O Lord, that I can come to Mount Zion and allow the living waters of God to come down the mountain, refresh my soul. Though I almost died, some of you are witnesses. Some of you have been in relationships where you've almost died. But God was working what? Sovereignly. Up above it all. We used to sing a song in the old church. Up above my head, I hear music. And anytime you hear the music of heaven, that's God working. Anytime God's moved, the angels sing. Anytime God moves, the angels make a noise. Those that surround the throne of God, as soon as he moves, they just shout, holy, holy, the Lord God. Oh, God's moving. What he's doing here today. Just open your heart to him. Better days ahead. Better relationships ahead. To those with broken relationships, God's going to start working to repair them. Those with no relationships, today God is starting to getting you connected. But above all, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. The witness says all of these things shall be added unto you. God bless you, Taylor. I don't know how you do it Sunday after Sunday. I don't know how you do it. But I tell you what, I'm so glad that you do. I'm so glad every Sunday you come with expectation of God. You come with a thirst for the Word of God. And the more you come like that, the more God will satisfy you. You come hungry for the Word of God, God will make me preach. It'll be Sundays I don't feel like preaching. It'll be Sundays I don't want to preach. But because of your thirst, God will anoint me fresh so that the living water can satisfy you. God bless you, Taylor. Heaven smile upon you.
Amen. Amen. So the good part, we're getting ready to transition to the next part of service. But we got Jordan over there. Does everybody tell Jordan what he's got to do?
Gather to worship through giving. This morning you may give through one of five ways, including text to give, online giving through our website, Venmo, Zelle, or also by using the U.S. Postal Mail. To give by text message, text the code TAYLOR61 to the phone number 73256, and you will receive a link and instructions. To give through our website, please go to TAYLORTABERNACLE.com/giving. And follow the instructions. To give by U.S. mail, please send check or money order to Taylor Tabernacle, P.O. Box 6309, Philadelphia, PA 19139. Venmo at Taylor Tabernacle -6309. Zelle at 215-287-6968. For those gathered with us in the sanctuary today, you will find two offering baskets next to the side ramp door. One of those for your tithe/offerings and one for the preacher. Please place your sealed envelopes in the baskets as you exit the sanctuary. You may also give an offering to our pastor via Cash App or Venmo. Cash App $ Pastor Jonathan Ford, Venmo at Jonathan-Ford-25. As always, we thank you for continued support of our ministry. The pastor and leadership team would like to thank you for joining us this Sunday. Our live stream service will continue via Facebook and YouTube Live so that you may continue to join us in worship from your home. Remember to subscribe right there on the YouTube page or follow us on Facebook at Taylor Tabernacle so that you are informed and up to date with all our upcoming gatherings and dates. If you are not receiving our weekly emails, please send us your new email address and we will add you to the list. On November 16th, join Pastor and First Lady Ford for an afternoon of service at Tabernacle. Pastor is asking everyone to dress down and join him in the garden for the final harvest and garden cleanup. In addition, we will be giving free turkeys for Thanksgiving for families in need. First Lady will be hosting a family literacy in the Tide Center with plenty of books and games for kids and adults. Please invite your family and friends to a special day of activity and fun for everyone. Choir practice for all ages, 2nd through 5th Sunday after service. Please see Sister Alex for questions. Pastor Ford is asking all members, family, and friends to join him online via Google Meet every Wednesday evening this month as we study Ephesians. November 23rd, wear your favorite sports jerseys. Sunday service for juniors and teens meet on Google Meets, 8:30 to 9 a.m. every 2nd through 5th Sunday. Primary class Sunday school meet in person, 10:45 to 11:15 on 2nd to 5th Sundays. Remember Pastor's Wild Week Challenge. And Christmas is 46 days away. Consider supporting Prison Fellowship Angel Tree Christmas by buying a gift for childs ages 0 through 18, volunteering with the committee, or donating a gift wrap and bags. See Sister Zakia Price for details.
Just want to say a word or two. What I'm giving to Brother Rob, just some flyers that were sent to the church, and it says, through these QR codes, you can find free food near you. Okay, sent from the city of Philadelphia. So I'm asking you, don't take the flyer, just scan that QR code if that could be of use to you or someone you know. From the city, Like you just put in your zip code and they'll let you know what food places are near you. Next Sunday, I need everybody's help. I need everybody's help. Bring those members that you know that are not here. Have them come out next Sunday. We've got a lot going on. We're trying to do it all in one day. One, we're trying to clean the garden. The final harvest, whatever's left, we're going to pull it up out of the ground. We're going to make that available. Then we have to clean up the garden so that it can make it through the winter, right? So come, be dressed down. Don't wear your Sunday best. Wear some jeans. Put on your Tims. Let's just get out in the garden. Let's put our hand in the dirt and the ground one last time. So that's going to be going on. In addition, to do what we can as a church to help fight hunger in this unusual time we're living in. And you know the times I'm talking about. We've been able to partner with Giant and Deacon Abrams. We thank him for his working behind the scenes. And it's not a lot, but we have 10 turkeys. That's what they have promised to give us. Next Sunday, we're going to have 10 turkeys. I'm asking you, if you know of someone, a family, tell them to come next Sunday. We've got 10. If you want to call me ahead of time and saying this family's coming in, but we're going to give that away, right, to someone in our neighborhoods, our communities, in your neighborhood. If you know what the family's going through, just tell them to come. That's all they got to do is come. And we're going to give these turkeys, hopefully we can add to it what's coming out of the ground, that they may have something to eat in their homes, okay? And then lastly, being added on to that, Jamea is going to be having a family literacy day. And if you love reading like she does, bring as many young people. The literacy day is for everybody, young and old. She's giving away books. She's giving away literacy games. On the second floor, she's going to be having food and refreshments. You working out in the garden, you ain't getting nothing. No, we're going to put the water hose on you. You're going to be like Samson. We're going to be, we need something to come out the ground for us. But no, the refreshments will be on the second floor. So would you do that? Would you do that? Would you bring someone, bring their family? Let's get books into their hands, even as we help to fight hunger naturally with the turkeys and what's out of the garden. Please invite them to morning worship that we might feed them spiritually with food from on high. And then lastly, let us all gather upstairs for the literacy day so that our families, especially our children, can be blessed. Amen. God bless you. Thank you, Taylor. You've been so faithful. Now unto him who alone is able to present us faultless before the Heavenly Father and his host of heavenly angels. Father, begin to work in us as you have begun to do by your word. Begin to transform us. Let us not be conformed to this world, but help us to be transformed by the renewing of our minds, that we might come to the full measure and stature of your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. God, so I commit this people into your hands. Go with them. Cause your face to shine down upon them. Wherever they go, God, give them peace. This is my prayer for the people of God. And everybody said, amen. God bless you, Taylor.